make sure your sleeping pad is blown up and sit on by the fire because it's time for a fireside chat. I'm your friend that refuses to buy a pair of hiking shoes. You can call me Trees. And I'm joined today by Mr. Cooper Gill himself, coming back from his very busy schedule. Big man over here. Sitting down by the fire with me. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. How have you been in the past? Oh, man, I don't even know. I feel like I say that every single time, but it's been quite a while since I last talked to you.
Yeah, I don't know when that was, but yeah, good. The beat goes on. And had a busy winter, busy spring. Have a lot of like time this kind of like spring and early summer to just focus on being outside more and get mind and body right, which has really been awesome. Nice. Yeah, trying to keep the activities high. Been climbing quite a bit, bouldering. Back into used to bike race a lot. I worked as a messenger all through university. So I've been back on the bike in a big way up here in Squamish, BC. So got a gravel bike and just been, you know, the access of forest roads here is pretty incredible. So I've been riding a lot and it's been fun. Weather's been junk, but yeah.
A lot of outside really? Time. Cold yeah. or too hot?
Yeah, cold. Ah, it's like
I got the gray. Opposite problem down here.
Yeah, gray and 50. Yeah, it's the complete opposite. So I'll kind of take it. Spitty gray 50.
Honestly, I would have that over what it's been like 90s, yeah. high 90s the past week in Georgia. Today is the first day that's below 90. Actually, yesterday was kind of nice too because it rained. But yeah, it's been pretty awful since I got back from Hawaii. But not the best. But anyway, I talked to you in January of this year. So you were the first one of the new year that I posted. So it's like, what, five months? Just a little bit over 5 months since we talked.
Yeah, just about halfway through. There you go.
Just about halfway through, yeah. Getting there. Nice, man, nice. Well, I feel like I shouldn't have to explain. This is the Fireside Chat. This might be your first one. If it is, this is where I bring on some guests that have come back. Maybe they want to chat with me some more, air out some grievances, whatever it is. And we just kind of sit down, have a little chat with each other. I'm going to ask you some questions, but before I do that, I've asked you to bring a little item for show and tell, which you were just showing me pictures of before the official recording started. If you would like to describe what it is and tell the audience what you got.
I had three, if not four things that I thought were really rad. And each have kind of like a unique story behind them, I think, both like personally and like as pieces. I think probably the most like technically interesting that the audience would be like most interested in is this piece back in the, I'm going to date myself again now, as usual. In the 90s, like mid 90s, Burton Snowboards had a sub line in their outerwear called the Outland Collection. And it was all down in wool, much more like natural pieces, I guess you could say. And it was like kind of like a, you know, for like the snowboard industry at the time, maybe not so much. And others might have been like a little bit of merino and definitely down, obviously, but like in the context of like snowboarding and 90s snowboarding, like when things were really in a very interesting kind of big way, natural materials weren't there. So this piece is this sweater. It's like this really, really heavy gauge wool sweater. With a full zip on the front of it. And what makes it interesting is that it's lined with Gore Windstopper. So it has like this knit membrane lining on the inside, which is like crazy. I mean, it weighs like 8 pounds, it's so heavy. And it stinks like a wet dog when you get it. But I mean, I've had it since new in the 90s when I was a teenager. And yeah, I still have it. It's cool. And it's like this really great navy blue color with these like really cool kind of like, I guess you could say they're like varsity's like gold stripes around that come down the shoulder and around the top of the arm, like very signature detail at the time.
It looks like
pretty rad.
Like almost like a high vis kind of, I don't even know what kind of jacket I'm thinking of. Maybe like a
construction worker vest.
Yeah, a construction worker. Yeah, it kind of looks like that, honestly, when you're showing me that.
Yeah, it has like this really, it has really cool details, you know, like here's, and you kind of get a sense of like, it just has all the stuff, right? It has like a very, like the embroidery on the logo is like one of their like really, like iconic. Yeah, it just keeps, sorry, I'm stuck in spin mode, but you know what I'm saying. It just like hits all the notes, right? Like it has a very distinct, like that kind of that stripe was like a thing of that time. The logo that's embroidered was a thing of that time that was like on Terrier's board, like his first pro models, like when that showed up. Like there's all these little, like, you know, if you're a fan of snowboarding, like there's a lot of little design moments happening in this one piece, which is super cool.
It's like a time capsule of a moment in snowboarding history.
Exactly.
All in one piece.
Yeah. And I think it's totally relevant now with like a lot of the conversation of like what brands need to do. I mean, it's being driven by inflation and energy prices, but people are really becoming quite aware of, like, you know, how much oil goes into a synthetic garment and regulations around, you know, waterproofing. And, you know, this there's going to probably be a pretty large return to like natural materials, I think, within the outdoor industry. And so it's cool to see a piece that's that old that was like kind of already there, and like that energy and exploration being there. So
I love it. That's very cool.
And
have you actually worn it, because you said it's in storage right now, have you actually like worn it snowboarding, or is that just like an archive kind of piece?
Not since I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
Not since I was a teenager. I should probably break it out, but I'm like afraid of ruining it now at this point.
Yeah.
I put it on and I realized that like moths had eaten a couple parts of it. So I need to like do some proper storage of it, not just like throw it in a hockey bag in my storage unit. And the lining, like when I pulled my arm out, the lining came with it. I was like, oh fuck, like it needs a little TLC.
That's the next project. Restore.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. Nice stuff, my man. Well, that's very cool. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And there will be a picture on the Patreon for people to see as well, with everything that you're talking about. You can send me one of those or multiple if you'd like. But
yeah, I have a bunch. I got a couple of little angles of it.
Sweet. Yeah. Get the full 360. We'll get like a 360 camera in there and just get a full view, panoramic. Nice. Well, that'll have done another way. I have six questions to ask you that I have written. And I let you choose the number. So you give me a number 1 through 6, and then I'll ask that one. And you're going to go through all of them, but this is just a fun little way to get you engaged. You know?
Yeah. Let's start in the middle. Let's go to number 3.
Number 3. Awesome. You might have touched over this a little bit in your main feed episode, but I was wondering, as someone who's interested in working in the outdoor apparel industry, how did you get your start? Like, real, how did you get your start? Not like, you know, you just got to kind of work for it and you just got to put your head down and grind. Like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for like, what are some like objective goals to do, or like things to look for when looking for a job in this sort of industry?
Totally. I think there's, you have to have a general understanding of like how, not just the industry, but like how brands within the industry work. So like that immediately puts you into this category of like sportswear, or, you know, like vertical retailers or that kind of thing, right? Like people that make a lot of stuff, basically. Even small brands are making a decent amount of stuff, and anyone that has some scale that can afford to hire a staff typically makes a lot of stuff, right? So being aware of like how the industry works is a big thing. You know, the first foot in the door for a lot of people, myself included, is at the retail level, right? And there's a lot to be said. A lot of my colleagues in the past have all come up out of stores.
Oh, really?
For sure. I think whether it's, you know, whether it's just a couple shifts here and there at REI or like your local specialty retailer, it's a really great way to one, learn like what the business cycles are and how, you know, why some product is bought over others for a specific market or a specific sport. You know, like what the, how you present stuff to customers, how you listen to customers, how that information travels from the front line of a store up back up into a brand. You understand like how the like sales function works from the brand to the store, which means you understand how merchandising works, right? Mm-hmm. You understand how creative works from a marketing perspective. So depending on like what your specific interest is professionally, you know, like if you're creative and you want to do marketing and start, you know, be a designer or whatever it is, you'll get a sense of like how creative resonates with customers. If you're, you know, more on the business side of things, like you'll understand how merchandising and buying works and like how sales cycles work and what that looks like. So like depending on what your interest is and where your background and your strengths are as like a little professional worker bee person, not little, but you know, it's just like professionally what the kind of stuff you want to do. There's a lot of ways in there. And then also it like helps you to like get connections, right? And it shows relevance within the market when you do go to step to that entry level job or that kind of, you know, junior position at a brand is to really get going within the industry. That's one way. I think the other way some people do it is more organically and they start their own thing. And, you know, you learn it all just by force of nature, like, cause you have to do it all. Right. It's a little more rare, but it's another way to do it because you just tend to just be doing it for yourself and forever. But yeah.
Nice. That's a very good answer. That's what I see. Listen, everyone's told me, and by everyone, I mean, my fiance has told me you can't just get the job you want first. You have to work the job you don't want to learn about the job you want so you can have the job you want.
Yeah.
Right. And yep. I think that's very true. And I've always thought like, yeah, that's true and all, but maybe I cannot do that. But now I'm realizing that
there's no substitution for like the depth of experience. And sometimes there may be things that are in the, you know, in the lane of work you want to be doing that aren't in the industry, but it's still adjacent, right? Like that experience, like if you wanted to become a merchant or you wanted to work in graphic design or whatever, right? Like the experience is the same. It's just not smack dab in the industry, you know?
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, like a lot of people, when you go to brands come from, you know, like I started my career at Urban Outfitters, you know, and like, that's where I learned the basics of all this stuff, right? That was my boot camp into it. So it's totally fine to like build it up with what you have adjacent to where you live, you know? Cause not everywhere is going to be like a hub of outdoor brands or a big thing, you know?
Yes. No, I'm definitely aware of that one. That's definitely where I am for sure. Yeah. No, it's a kind of a desert out here in the Southeast United States, but it is what it is. I'm trying my best.
I would think, I mean, there's, I don't know. I can't think of anything specifically, but I would think there's probably stuff in the like, quote unquote, hook and bullet space in the Southeast. There's probably a lot of like military contracts in the Southeast. There's probably, there's a lot of textile down there. So there's stuff. There's stuff, you know what I mean? There's kind of stuff everywhere, right? Yeah. Like you just need to be open to being like, oh, what? And this is where being really aware of the industry in general and like not just like the myopic focus on outdoors, but like who are the adjacent industries that like feed in and out, right? So like when you have outdoor, when I say hook and bullet, I mean like the like traditional sportsmen, you know, hunting and fishing, hunting and fishing, right? Or you have the like entire like defense space, like that's a massive apparel thing. Or then there's the like general fashion apparel industry, right? Like that's even bigger. There's plenty of adjacencies to be aware of and how, and once you start working, you realize like people kind of fluidly come in and out of the spaces. That's fine.
Okay.
It's not a ding on you to have experience from a place that's outside of the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, once you have a job, it's easier to get a job, but getting the first job is the hard part. As what I've found, at least, and seeing like people that I've worked with at like internships and stuff like that, they've been offered jobs and like watching them move from company to company, it's like, oh, I probably should have taken that. I probably should have done something differently, you know?
I mean, it's, this is me coming from, you know, cutting my teeth in retail, but like, I love when I see people have been like, I work, you know, like I worked at REI or I worked at Patagonia on the floor or whatever, you know, like that, that understanding of a customer putting the customer first and knowing what works and what doesn't work is really big. It's like a big filter to know. Cause it takes like some of the subjectivity out of the conversation.
Mm. Well, you'd be happy to know that I am now working at a small little outdoor retailer. That's what my new job is. And I just got, nothing crazy. Perfect. Just a retail position. Hopefully.
Great.
In that's the gear area. That's where I want to be, but it's fine. I'm training. Actually today I'm training at 2. So
fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's something. It's better than what I was doing, which is just being a server. It's like, I'm being paid more and I'm in an industry. I'm like in the field, right? It's like, I'm 100%. Learning about the product. I'm by the product. I'm not just doing a podcast about the product. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. You're going to just start learning so much stuff about what you thought was the answer for something or what you thought was great about something and what someone else thinks, you know, that's outside of like your, you know, orbit of like people. And you're going to see like what works from brands and what sells and what doesn't and what colors are great and not and why. And you're going to be like, wow, everyone wants everything in black and gray. That's interesting. It's awesome, man. That's great. That's super fun. I like nerd on especially like independent local shops. Like they're just the best. So.
Yeah. Well, that is another thing. It's like, I have kind of already not lowered my expectations, but changed my expectations of working there. Cause it's like me personally, it's like, okay, I want to wear my like, or I want to talk about like, you know, the newest colorways and like the cool stuff that's coming out and all that. But then it's like, oh, I have to sell like On Running, like Cloud Ventures and like Hoka Bondis the whole time. It's like, they don't have XT6s. They don't have La Sportiva Raptors. It's like, I'm going to have to sell the small stuff. And the clientele is not like, you know, fashion people.
Right.
It's just like people who want to go outside only for the most part. Yeah. There's going to be like some, but for the most part, it's just like people want to go outside. So,
but you have to understand, you know what I mean? Like, this is the cool thing about it is you have to understand the like full spectrum before you can have a truly expert point of view on like on the niche and why the niche is special. Right. Yeah. And I think it's easy to like focus on the niche anecdotally, like from, you know, from our media diet, you could say, you know, like we all feel pretty empowered to be like, oh, those are cool. That's sick. That brand's rad. Like that color special. Like I love the styling of that, et cetera. But unless you like are front and center, which now you will be of like the full conversation, you don't truly understand why the niche thing is like really, really special. You know?
Yeah.
And so and just to see like why someone is picking something that we don't consider special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's people that are fans of the niche, right? Be like, what? It's crazy that you're into that shoe, but I get it. Look at your foot. Oh my God. Yeah, you do need this shoe. Like your plantar fasciitis is a crime scene. Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like I said, I start training today. So I'll be learning all that. And
oh, you're going to love it, man. It's super fun. You're going to be full up on information and, you'll be geeking on like all the stuff that the brands send to get, you know, people on the front line, up to speed, like with the brand story, you know what I mean? Like there's another level of like marketing that goes out that's like specific to retailers and to, that could call it channel. You know, of like stuff that gets made to support it. It's cool.
Nice.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. You're on the inside. Yeah.
Foot in the door. You have 5 numbers left.
Okay.
I can tell you which ones.
Number 5.
Number five. Oh, this is cute. This is a little breather question. What's your favorite color?
I go between blue and green.
Blue and green? Are we talking like dark blue, dark green? What kind of variation of color are we seeing?
Oh. Hmm. I live in this. It's funny, whenever if someone asks me my favorite color, I always put that into like primary spectrum. But if I was to like kind of drill down a little bit, for blue, I really like those like Yves Klein kind of blues. I like really kind of pure cobalt kind of color. Greens, I love a real like vibrant. And there's like two ways, I guess there's three ways green could be like. I really love like a really vibrant kind of like Kelly grassy kind of green, you know, like that light. Sorry. And then I love floros, like all the floral greens are really cool. Like you see like a really bright kind of like lichen in nature, you know, like those like
Oh, yeah.
natural floral colors, very, very cool. And then obviously like the like olivey kind of drabby greens, it's kind of
The olives, that kind of thing.
yeah, that kind of and to, but that's funny because then that to me it goes into like heritage military outdoor stuff, that's where it's at, like that kind of
Definitely.
stuff. And I like stuff both blue and green too on the like almost pastel side, but like on the like the industrial paint color pastel side. So like that like institutional green your like old elementary school might have been in like the
Yeah,
like the
yeah.
janitor's closet or you know things that like engine parts at Tractor Supply Company get powder coated and stuff.
Nice.
There you go.
Little follow-up. What's your favorite color to have on like a clothing item?
Oh, gray.
Gray.
No, gray. I'm discovering that brown's a good color for me, like for my skin tones. I'm so pale and like kind of pink, so brown works well for me. So I've been liking that lately. That also like those kind of like olivey greens work good for me as well. Tend to wear a lot of black. It's easy. But I like a jump. Like I like softer little bunny. I think like streetwear comes sneaking out of me sometimes. So I like a little pop on like a t-shirt, you know, like a bright color or like a soft pinky purple or something like that.
Little fancy with it, a little purple, a little gray,
Yeah,
mix it up, olive.
like when I say the streetwear thing, I'm like, oh, well, like your t-shirt should like if it's sticking out of your sweatshirt, should like pick up your sock and pick up a thing on your sneaker or something like that. Like it should be
No
like these,
accents.
yeah, you know what I mean? Like it should just like kind of carry through.
Yeah, I agree. That's how I put outfits together as well. Not as bad as I was in middle school, and I was wearing like a blue shirt, cargo shorts, and like blue socks. It's not that obvious, but it is like, I got like a little
But
hint
it
of
has to
this.
match your sneakers and you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it's not that bad anymore, but nice. All right, you got four questions left, sir.
Number one.
Number one, another little breezy. Well, actually, I've asked this one before on the pod, and
Okay.
it's either the hardest question I'd ask or it's the easiest one.
Well, I can't wait to contradict myself.
What is your favorite animal?
Dogs, I guess.
Boring answer against it, dogs.
I know it's fucking boring. Dogs are cool. New one for me is guinea pigs.
Oh, I saw. Yes, I saw. So you need a guinea pig sitter.
Yeah, we got a guinea pig over COVID, and I'm like, I never had one growing up or like in a classroom or anything, and they're sick. Like really kind of hilarious. My like TikTok is just filled with guinea pig content. Yeah, they're really like strange interactive little rodents that are very sweet, kind of funny. They do funny shit.
There you go. Nice. For the guinea pig. We'll go with that. I feel like that no one said guinea pig before.
be a guinea pig.
Just weird little rodents.
Yep. Chunky little rodents. Chonky nice. Rodents. Sorry.
Chonky rodents, for sure. Yeah. They're a lot bigger than you think. Because you think of like hamsters are really small. Rats are pretty big. Rats can be big, but rats are like normally you think of a smaller size for a rat. I do at least.
Yeah, they're like slender. Guinea pigs are like
they're chonky.
A football. Yeah. Yeah.
The only way to describe it, honestly.
Yeah. Chonky. She's got a big fat butt.
What's your guinea pig's name?
Philomena.
Philomena. Wow. Yeah,
Philomena Honeybun is her full name.
Is that your creation? That's your name?
No, it's my daughter's creation.
Oh, okay. Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
You got three questions left, sir.
Okay. Number three.
Oh, you've already asked number three.
Oh, number yeah. four.
All right. That's going to be $10. I'll give you my Venmo after this.
Okay.
What is your favorite meal? We're going to do two. And this is an A-B type question. First, your favorite meal on a trail, and then your favorite meal in real life.
Okay. On trail, I'm going to go with Haribo's. Not really a meal, but Haribo gummies are like my
thing to eat. Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of my go-to. Or like that sugar fix. The other thing, which is a sleeper, which people should really, if you have a Trader Joe's, they have these freeze-dried tangerines. Banging. Like those will keep you alive on like a multi-day for sure. Yeah.
I've had their like dried mango. That's really good. But I've never had the tangerine.
The tangerine takes it too. The mango is really good and the tangerine's better.
Oh, wow.
If you're looking for like a meal, there's so much. My wife just came back from Outdoor Retailer and Janine and
shout out
friend of the pod as well. Yeah. Friend of the pod. She came back with like a pile of I forget what brand, but like there's so much in the like freeze dried space of like people that are real chefs and like actually care about food making really good freeze dried meals, which I'm excited to try some of these new ones. One of the bags exploded in her suitcase to the pressure. It's wow, that's a fucking mess. It was pretty insane, but it smelled really good. Wow, I remember what brand it was. Anyway, I don't know. I like all that freeze-dried stuff. Like, I think it's
nice.
It tickles a weird thing, like this childhood love of institutional food, of rehydrated stuff. Like, high sodium airplane food. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And then in real life, it's pizza. You know, I'm from the Northeast.
Mm.
I'm missing greatly pizza and like what I consider that definition. You know, have you ever seen a map of the pizza belt of the United States?
I have not. You can look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's this defined, and this is a real thing. There's a defined thing that kind of goes from like a little slice of Boston, gets fatter in Rhode Island, down the coast of Connecticut, and then bubbles again around the suburbs of New York City, down through Jersey into Philadelphia.
Oh,
and it's called the pizza belt. And it's it's directly tied to like certain, depending on where you're from in Italy, like from the Italian diaspora, like
really,
yeah, like certain regions of Italy, like where they settled along the Northeast constitutes like the best pizza places. And then it's like mapped all these really famous. Yeah. It's like really crazy. Anyway, that's where I come from. And I miss that greatly living on the West Coast. Funny enough, like what comes along with that are like the sandwiches and like, oh man. So this is the other thing on my TikTok now. It's funny. It goes all back to the algorithm. I have guinea pigs. And then I have like these dudes in Italy that just make sandwiches. It's like these like hole in the wall delis in Naples and Rome and stuff, when they're just like whacking this incredible bread and just like they just like hold up the most insane prosciutto that you've ever seen, or mortadella, like squeezing the water out of the cheese, and oh my god, this blows my mind. I miss it.
Yeah, I mean,
sandwiches basically carbs.
The last like really good sandwich I had was when I was in Boston. There was just a little deli me and my girlfriend at the time found. Just went in there, same thing, just like dried meats hanging up all over the store, fresh bread, just can't top it. You can't top good bread, you know? That's what makes or breaks a sandwich.
You can't beat it, man. You really can't beat it.
No. Now I'm craving it. I've got this burger sitting here in front of me and I'm craving a nice Italian sandwich.
I have like a whole food sandwich and pizza tour put together. We're going to go back east to New York, for all of July. And so I'm going to go down to Philly. Yeah, we're going to go to Philadelphia, see some friends. We're going to be in New York a bunch, you know, family all around. And I'm like, going here, going to Angelo's in Philly. I'm going, you know, we're going.
Well, best of luck. I hope you enjoy your big carb tour. Sounds amazing.
Should be great for my midsection.
Nice. We've only got two questions left. And again, if you do pick the wrong number, it is $10 to my Venmo.
What numbers are left?
I can't tell you because that's how I get the money.
All right, so I owe you $20. I owe you $20 now. So are one and two left?
Two is left, yes.
All right, do number two. I did number one already. I have a terrible memory.
That's good for me. It's bad for you. Here you go. This is actually a question about memory. What is one of the best things that you did at ARC? Like, what's your favorite experience, favorite moment there, formative moment, something like that, that you look, you're like, that was a really, really awesome thing I did, or I was a part of, we'll say.
I really loved, there's a lot. I'll phrase it two ways. Because there's one, there's just the human experience of being there and connecting deeply with the team that I worked with. And I think them being some of the most talented people I've ever worked with in my entire career, which I think is saying a lot, given, you know, if I'm going to toot my own horn. Like, I've worked with a lot of really incredible people. I've been very, very privileged and fortunate in that sense. This crew was like really top. So that was just, you know, to be among that greatness is profound and special. And then in terms of like a specific project, you know, we didn't get to, it kind of hit this gray area. We supported Josh Matthews in this book called Hard Shell that he published of his personal archive. And which just came out last month. Super limited, really, really cool. He's a huge collector in New York, and he's like one of those like people with a good memory, not like mine, encyclopedic knowledge of the things. And he, in the process of like doing that book, I was able to connect him with some of the founders of the company, the really like original designers, you know, from 20 and 25 years ago of pieces, and like to be the connection point and like a privy to the conversations he was having with those people of like, hey, here's this piece I found and I noticed that these were made to like the conversations that would go on amongst that group of people across generations was like really, really cool. And the final product is just insane. The book is gorgeous. I don't know if you've seen photos of it anywhere, but
seen photos. I have not been able, obviously there's only 100 copies, so I wasn't able to pick up a copy of it, but I did see it. I saw other people that were fortunate enough to get one post about it.
Yeah. So that was cool. Like it just spanned, like it just hit so many things, right? It like was it like was like really nerdy on the design thing. It was heavy on the history. It was smack dab in that, you know, vintage collector space, which I think is so cool and so relevant to like how things need to work from an industry perspective, you know, with people buying used things and getting the most life out of them versus buying something new. So, and it's like a design object. It was beautiful. And Josh is a beautiful person and just like became, you know, through the project got to, you know, like some of your best friends are the ones that you collaborate with on work. So I really would develop a great friendship with him through that and found someone. I'm like, oh, you're one of these people that I'm going to be friends with forever now. So just cool.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. I like that. Well, it looked very cool. Obviously did not get to read it, but it seemed like it was a pretty big deal. And there was a whole event in Chicago or New York, one of the
Yeah, they did a whole tour. Like we did
two?
like New York, Chicago. There'll be another couple. They needed to, the brand needed to pause, like some dumb corporate shit, but they needed to pause because they were like a new backend system in place. So it was like, we can't do anything during this time period except sell stuff. So anyway, the tour will resume, I think, at some point.
Oh, nice.
And it's
Yeah,
been
make sure they
cool.
come
It's
down
been
to
cool.
Atlanta.
Yeah, what was like really cool with the events was that like he not only was there and had books there to be able to get some, but he had pieces from the book from his personal collection. He probably has like the most. I don't think it's like if it's not necessarily the deepest, it's probably one of the deepest collections of pieces, but like the
Wow.
grail level of every single piece that he has is absolutely like in the world probably the best. Yeah. So, and I don't think anyone could step to him on the like conversation of like why a piece is a grail and who made it and what and like down to like who made the like toggles on the zipper pull, like shit like that. Like it's just like
Wow. That is
don't
insane.
Josh will take you to tax on details and like knowledge, which is really incredible.
That's good to hear. It's nice to know
Yep.
that they're not just collecting it for the sake of hype. He's like actually invested in the product as a whole and seems like the brand as a whole. So that's cool to see him also get like recognition, you know?
Yeah, he's just really just like a really incredible person. He's so cool.
Nice. Nice. Well, beautiful answer for both. You're on your the last number you haven't said. Do you think you know what it is?
I don't.
Do you want to take a guess?
We started at 3. 4.
No, I'm sorry. That's going to be $30. No, it's number six.
Oh, there were
Number
six.
six.
I
Number
thought there were
six.
five.
No, someone said that last time too. I think six is like a good number, isn't it? Six is like a nice amount to have.
I would choose an odd number, but
See, I would too normally, but you can like it's like a dice. There's six sides on the dice. You could like roll a dice and pick a number that way.
well,
I've
that's
never
right. Yeah,
told
that's one
anyone
way
to do
to
that before, but you could. But I am also like multiple of five kind of guy normally. Like my soccer jersey was always number 20 because I like multiples of five, but
Interesting.
whatever. Yeah. Just a little quirky thing that I did. What are some, the last question is, what are some like new poppin' brands that you would like to talk about or you're interested in, you want to shout out, anything like
Ooh, good question. I've really been, yeah, and this is like kind of fun, like, 'cause I'm sort of rediscovering things now. Being independent again for a little bit, like I can look at things not from like a competitive angle,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Or keeping up with the Joneses or who's copying us or, you know, like what's next
Exactly.
and like really focusing on like just celebrating stuff. So, there's a brand out of Montreal, Austria, Ostria.
Oh
Really,
yeah.
really
I
cool.
have one
Yeah.
of their shirts.
Oh man, awesome. Yeah, I want to get some stuff from them. I think it's cool. I think they do it. I don't know a ton about them other than like anecdotal what I can like, you know, glean from looking at stuff, but I believe they do some manufacturing in Canada domestically, which is always a thing. People are looking for domestic manufacturing, whether it's in the States or Canada. I don't necessarily agree with the like getting super lost in that, but it's something that I think is cool. But I love the styling and the colors. I think the branding is like just a little younger. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
There's you know, but I think maybe because I've been riding bikes again so much and like gravel riding and, you know, looking more at like bike packing stuff. And then that kind of like bleeds over to like the fast packing world. There's, you know, when you get into that space, there's actually like a lot of independent brands. Like it seems like where there's the most, you know, like in pack makers and that kind of thing. So there's two. out of Brooklyn, Almonds Right. They do like really lightweight fast packing stuff. Incredible. Or not Brooklyn, they're in New York. Did I say Brooklyn or New York?
You said
Because they're in the Bronx. Yeah, sorry, they're in the Bronx. Yeah, they're really, really cool. Super lightweight, like really clever design. Fantastic people, husband and wife team behind it, that are just great. And then there's another one in New Hampshire, near Vermont, called Alpine Luddites. It's like more in the, yeah, they do both bike packing stuff and like alpine packs. They're all very similar, like super lightweight, like Dyneema stuff, like that kind of shit. So
American made.
Yeah, they're all nice. Yeah, they're all domestic. Yep, they're all domestic, which is cool. And they're just like active, you know. In the it's hard to avoid the cross pollination between Janine and Janine's work and mine, you know, like what I hear. Yeah. But you know, she's been friends with the women that do that brand Hiker Kind, and she's been a big supporter of them. So they just officially launched like the full collection at Outdoor Retailer this season. That stuff looks incredible, like really amazing styling, and just like taking the technical stuff we're used to. And I think that's going to be a big one. It looks great.
Looks cool. I'm looking at the Alpine Luddite website right now. They got some very crazy looking bags. Looks really cool. Nice stuff.
Yeah, he's got a funny logo. I want to grab one of their t-shirts. It's like, I don't need any more gear. I have so much fucking gear that I don't ever need another piece of gear in my life. But so like, I don't need like a super lightweight like little Summit pack. But t-shirt could be good. Maybe a patch.
Yeah, t-shirt could be nice.
Great t-shirt. Name. Funny, hilarious name.
Alpine Luddite is a very good name. That's why I went to the website and I'm like, oh, this is fun. Yeah. And they have a Winnie the Pooh shirt. What is he saying? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got some like funny good little like dark commentary on stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
I also really like that. I've noticed on Instagram he does like sewing workshops. Like he'll open up his shop and be like, I have 5 seats to like teach you how to make a bag this week. Come on in. I think that's so rad. I love it. People do that.
On the website, they advertise, I'm offering a series of classes to teach people to make their own gear. No sewing experience necessary, all materials included. And they just have prices. Just straight up, you can just book the date and go in. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
There's a surfboard brand out of Maine called Grain Surfboards that do that as well. They make these like wooden surfboards, and you can go there. They have this like awesome farm property, and you can do like a week long surfboard building thing where they give you all the material and they teach you how to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Fun. I think that's going to be big. I think, at least for me, I might just be projecting onto society with what I think, but I think people in the scene that I'm in, and hopefully more consumers as a whole, get more into like a DIY, kind of just learn how to make things or do things that previously we just would buy. I think that'd
expect
be a
to
very
be there,
cool,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
That'd be a very cool change.
Yep. I agree. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't, you're gonna be waiting for things. Like, and now our bodies are trained for immediacy and a dopamine hit. So can we retrain them to like want to get that satisfaction from making it yourself, you know?
It is rewarding to make something on your own, you know, even just like making food on your own could be rewarding. So like, imagine making something so cool, like a backpack. That would be awesome. Yeah.
It is pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I still need to make that. I got a Reese Cooper chore coat, like the one you have to make on your own. Still haven't made it. It's just been sitting in my room in the box, even in my room since I got it. Cause I didn't have a sewing machine, but I got it. And I was like, this will motivate me to learn how to do things. Just did not happen, but I'll make it one day and it'll be really cool.
Yeah.
I got all the patches and stuff for it.
Or you just sell it on whatever. You just sell the kit.
I would never. I don't even know if it's worth anything right now. Let me check.
He's like blown up. I'm sure it's actually worth more.
Yeah. That Reese going to pot.
Kick grilled.
Yeah. Oh, DIY Oh, yeah, I could sell it for like $200.
There you go.
I could, but what should I? Morally, is it the right choice to not
No, I
make
don't
the
think you should.
jacket?
I think you should make it, man.
I should. I got the white one. And I got
Cool.
the white one because I wanted to just like mess it up, like make the trench coat and just wear it everywhere and like get really dirty.
Yeah. Do it this weekend.
No, I can't. I'm going camping on Wednesday or Thursday.
Do it while you're camping.
Do it while I'm camping? Yeah, it's supposed to rain the whole time. I don't think that would be
Do
too
all
much
like the little
fun.
hand sewing sub-assemblies while you're sitting in the tent waiting out the rain instead of reading.
Awful. Sounds awful. I'll just do it when I'm home under in shelter with a sewing machine. I feel like if I'm gonna learn how to sew, I should probably do it in optimal conditions. So I didn't spend like what was it, $170 on a trench coat I can't wear because I fucked it up. That's probably not the best.
The beauty of sewing, you can always just take it apart and start over.
True. True. I could. Yeah.
You might have to.
I might have to, honestly. I'm gonna try to do with as little help as possible. And I
Get
just
it.
might have to take it apart. But they have some like very good instructions online. It's pretty like hands-on, like
It's
here's
really
how you do
cool.
it. Yeah.
It's super cool.
Nice. Well, I have to go pretty soon, but do you have any questions you want to ask me before I hang up on you?
I didn't No, I didn't think that I would need to.
No,
For a
you don't
job
have to.
interview of you.
I just ask people. I just ask people
No, but
if
hey,
they have
man,
any.
like good job getting really great guests on. Seems like you're on a bit of a roll. I don't know why you're
Yeah,
slumming it with me, but that's fine.
you say that after I get your wife on, of course. But
Yeah, well, she's the boss, man. She's the one that all
yeah.
of us look to for information. There's a
That was a very highly
oracle.
praised episode as well. I think I told her as much as well. But yeah. My mom also texted me and said that it was her favorite episode, which didn't surprise me because, my mom is a very like, go women type lady. So didn't surprise me at all when she texted me that, but I was like, okay, cool. Nice to know you're still listening.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
man.
good stuff. I'm trying to carve my way in this wacky world. Hopefully this will look good on a resume someday.
There you go. Yeah, get it out.
Yes,
Express
sir.
yourself.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure to chat with you again.
Likewise.
Yeah. And be in touch. Talk to you. I don't know. Maybe we'll get you and your better half on for an
That'd be
episode.
fun.
That could be cool. Talk about the combined, the powerhouse, the outdoor powerhouse
Duet.
couple. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sweet. Well, I'll talk to you
Sick.
later,
Okay.
man.
All right, dude.
All right. Peace out.
Goodbye.